Permet mia, permet mister, I think from hell, it's the moment, by your plan, and I am bound, Lord, grant my feet on higher ground, I want to stand.
It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Now, we've read this verse, and it says, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting. We talked about that. It says these things are not convenient, but rather, notice this, giving of thanks, but rather giving of thanks. Thank God and praise Him. It's much better than joking around. The idea here seems to be that praising and giving thanks to God would be far more appropriate as to the character of Christians, rather than idle, trifling, and improper talk. Remember, we talked about that the last time, about jesting and all of that foolish talk. Well, instead of meeting together for low, meaningless joking, Paul would have the church at Ephesus come together for the purpose of praising God and to be workers together in his service. And let me remind you that just as Paul was speaking to those people at the church at Ephesus, he speaks to us today. How can that be? Well, it can be because this is God's word. God is actually the author of the book. He's the author of his own book, The Word of God. And in that book, we're given so many things that we as Christians can look at and we can be successful in this Christian life that we have. See, men are social by their human nature. And if they do not assemble for good purposes, this being the human nature being in control, they will gather together for bad purposes. And it's much more appropriate to the character of Christians to come together to sing praises to God rather than to simply sing songs or to gather together for a time of social activity. It's much more appropriate to the character of Christians to come together to discuss the things of redemption rather than to tell anecdotes. And you see, it's much more appropriate to the character of Christians to come together to devote the time to contemplate the world to come rather than for entertainment and nonsense. I believe when a person stands to sing in a local congregation, that person should not actually be singing to the congregation. That person should not simply be standing there to sing to receive honor from the congregation. That person who stands to sing needs to be singing the praises of God, needs to go to the appropriate means of singing the proper hymn, singing to God, not to the people, not to be there just to be seen for having a good voice or to be who they are, but to who God wants them to be, and that is one who worships Him, singing and praising God. Now, in just a few moments, we're going to get into something that Paul the Apostle continues on in helping us to understand what we need to be watching out for in our lives. And I believe even right now, as we're studying verse 4 of chapter 5 of Ephesians, we're seeing instructions from God. But in this verse, in verse 4, rather giving of thanks. That's what we come together for. That's what we should live for in our personal lives, even before we come into the church building. Psalm 26, verses 6 through 7 says much about thanksgiving. The psalmist said, I will wash mine hands in innocency. So will I compass thine altar, O Lord, that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works. We need to let people know about God. We need to give out with our voice thanksgiving to God and let other people hear us do that. Psalm 69 and verse 30 says, I will praise the name of God with a song. and will magnify him with what? With thanksgiving. I fear that we as Christians many times take God for granted. We do not offer him praise. We do not offer him thanksgiving enough. When we go to the Lord in prayer, it's just many times, gimme, gimme, gimme. Give me everything that I want. Give me the things that I need. But we need to go to him and say, thank you for giving me what I need. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you for taking care of me. Psalm 95:2 says, let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. The first part of that verse says, let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. I believe before we ask God for anything in prayer, that we need to praise him and let him know that we know who he is. And we need to be thanking him for the things he's done for us, the things that he is going to do for us. We need to come before his presence with thanksgiving and then make a joyful noise. We don't have to sing out loud with our voice. We can sing with our heart and sing praises to God. Pray his word back to him with psalms. Let him know that you love him. Psalm 100 and verse 4 goes on to say, enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Go before him with thanksgiving, in other words. And into his courts with praise. Thank him for who he is and what he has done. And also praise him. Be thankful unto him, the verse goes on to say, and bless his name. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 15, for all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. Thanksgiving, singing praises to God, telling God how wonderful he is. Philippians 4 and verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Go to God in prayer, praising him, telling him you know who he is, and thanking him for everything that he's done for you, praising him for his goodness and mercy, praising him for being exactly who he says he is. That verse, Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 4 says, but rather giving of thanks. Don't let the things of this world overtake you. Don't let the filthiness nor foolish things of this world nor jesting, the foolishness of the flesh, the filthiness of the flesh, which are convenient. In other words, those things that creep into us as human beings. But you see, that verse says, which are not convenient. In other words, they don't bring honor and glory to God. Rather than having those things overtake us and be prevalent in our lives, we need to be giving thanks to God for who he is and what he's done for us. Well, now we continue on reading, and we go to verse 5 of the book of Ephesians. Now, Paul speaks in verse 5 of Ephesians, chapter 5, about the covetous man. And we've read about this covetous man before. But Paul speaks of this man, and according to Paul, this man is to be ranked with the sensual. In other words, the fleshly, unsaved man. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 5 says, for this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor a covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Well, in this verse, chapter 5 of Ephesians, verse 5, Paul's trying to get those who are saved in the church at Ephesus to realize that a whoremonger, this is an unclean person, and this would be a person who is not saved. He would have the people know there that a covetous man who is an idolater, they do not have a birthright to the kingdom of Christ and of God. That's what the verse says. And I believe Paul wants those who are saved and are partakers of any of the vices we see in the text of Ephesus, of the church at Ephesus there that Paul's writing to in the book of Ephesians, especially verse 3 and 5 of chapter 5 of Ephesians, that these people, that people They cannot receive the blessings of God because of willful sin. And let me remind you, Paul is not only speaking to the people at Ephesus, he speaks to us today. And the people who cannot receive blessings of God because of willful sin, they are acting no better than the ungodly, the unsaved person, the fleshly, carnal Christian who lives for the pleasures of the flesh, has a testimony of one who is not saved, as seen by other people, saved and unsaved alike. In the book of James, chapter 2, we read in verse 10 through 13 something here that ties in with what I'm speaking of. It says, "For whosoever shall keep the whole law, and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. For he that said, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. Now if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. So speak ye, and so do, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. For he shall have judgment without mercy, that hath showed no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment." Well, the Bible is plain that we are to live a godly life, that we're not to be as the unsaved person, and that when we see someone doing something wrong, we're not to judge with our judgment, but we are to let God do the judging through His Word. John 8:36 says, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." We're free from the things of this life if we would just let God take our lives and use it. We are free. We are not to be the person who is ungodly, living ungodly, because we are saved. James and John tell us that a Christian has liberty in the Lord. We don't have liberty to sin. We have liberty in the Lord. And he or she has been set free, that is the saved person, from the bondage of sin. Not set free to sin, but we've been set free from sin, the bondage of sin. You know, we get saved and we actually need to live like that. We need to live like we're saved because we are. 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9 tells us that when a Christian thinks he or she has liberty to do anything, and that is to sin, he or she becomes one who causes others to stumble and causes others to be confused as to what being a Christian really is. 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9, "But take heed lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak." You see, we not only have, as Christians, as saved people, we not only have the unsaved looking at us, but we have someone who's just been saved, a person who has just become a child of God by trusting Jesus Christ as Savior. We also have those folks looking at us. And we need to be very careful as Christians as to our life, as to how we live our lives. Again, in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 3, it says, "But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints." It doesn't look like we're saints when we let these things overtake us in this life. These things that people look at us and they say, "Well, that person evidently does not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. They're not a Christian because they're living just like the world." Well, the bottom line is this: sin is sin. Sin is a separator, a barrier between God and man. Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 2 says, "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear." We don't lose our salvation when we sin, but it separates us from the fellowship that we can have and need with our Heavenly Father. Stay right with God, confess sin, and let God lead your life.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.